pocket of deplorables moment. That's what Hillary Clinton said in 16 that tanked her campaign. Well, that's the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris moment right now. I am a little bit more cynical about this one in the following way. It might look like Joe Biden's usual cognitive deficits kicked in, but the reality is we know his family is secretly probably rooting for Donald Trump, not Kamala Harris, to win because they feel really vengeful about how they were treated. So if you're in their shoes, you know that kind of comment is actually going to tank Kamala Harris. So we're going to put those kinds of motivations to one side. But regardless, it is a welcome October surprise, because let's take a big step back. What's going on here? The wheels are coming off the car. They're spiraling. And now you see the accusations of the other side being Hitler or piles of garbage. You're going to hear a lot about threats to democracy in the next week. They are flailing, Sean. They understand Americans are not falling for their trick anymore.
Vivek Ramaswamy always sounds like he has three more words than he has breath.
Well, he's going to get him in, though.
He is. He's
That's why he's fun to listen to.
He has a way of speaking. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today is in response to what Joe Biden said last night on, I think it was like a fundraiser call or something like that, or like maybe a Zoom call with voters or something like that, a panel. I don't know.
It was a Zoom call for sure.
But he was talking about the comments that the Democrats have made so much hay on, or worked to try to make so much hay on, I don't think it's really resonating with people, about the comedian who spoke at the Trump campaign rally at Madison Square Garden, who referred to Puerto Rico as a country as a floating island of trash. That's the summation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal to Democrats. That's what they've been discussing. They've been working hard on offending, on making sure that the Puerto Ricans, voting Puerto Ricans in this country, are very offended. And now, because that comedian made that joke at a Madison Square Garden, those people who have worked to flee communism and mass poverty, that they have found value in Donald Trump and his policy, but now are like, ouch. Ouch, man. I'm voting for Kamala. that's been the last 4 days. What is today? Wednesday? That's what they've tried to do. Joe Biden continued on with this thought process, trying to do everything that the Democrats can do to push this knowledge of the association between a comedian who made these remarks. The Trump campaign disavowed them. Other Republicans disavowed them. I question having a roast comedian at a campaign, but alas, there he was, whatever. This is what Joe Biden said about Trump supporters last night while Kamala was giving a big speech.
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
The only garbage I see out there is his supporters. Apostrophe. I mean, even the possessive understanding of supporters, like, oh, it was the supporters' garbage. Do you see it floating around? Well, maybe you should clean up the streets. You're the guy. You should make it happen. I want to take your phone calls on this. We've got a few lines open. 314-241-9797. The poll for today is, do Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage? Yes or no? Does Joe Biden really think of you if you are a Trump supporter? Does he really think you're garbage? Do the people who are in the elite apparatus of the Democrat Party, and there's an elite or apparatus of the Republican Party too, do the elite Democrats really look at you and think you're trash? Yes or no? You can vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and you can also call in right now and tell us what you think. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Get in line, and we'll try to get through as many of these as we can. So make your point, and we'll keep moving along. John, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you believe that Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage? Yes or no?
No, but I got to explain it, because Biden did not even say what most people are saying he said.
We just played what he said in his own words.
No, but listen. He was talking about the comedian, one person.
No, Trump he wasn't.
Let me finish, man. Gosh. Please let me finish. Because at the end of it, he cut it off. He said his comments. Why was it that he goes, the Trump supporters, he talks about
Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
The only garbage I see out there is
play
his supporters.
Bam, play the rest.
His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American.
That's the rest of the clip.
No, bro? You skipped it again.
That's straight from the video.
Fucking bitch, I got a report.
You're going to dump that. You're going to
dump that.
Man, see, listen, fair point. I think he said the answer is no. Did you dump that?
Yeah.
Okay. If you didn't get it, we apologize for his language. And Ethan, John's not allowed to call anymore. You can't do that on the air. FCC says so. I can handle it. The FCC can. That's government for you. Anyway, when you listen to somebody like that, and this is a guy who's called in multiple times to the show, and he makes the same point every time. And he makes a point that supports the left, that denigrates the right. And in doing so, when I play for him exactly the clip, we have the clip right here. It's straight from the video from where Joe Biden said it. I'm giving you the opportunity to say Joe Biden misspoke. Joe Biden doesn't really mean that. I am capable of having a conversation with you, but if you want to call me an F&B on this show because you're that upset about this, then the answer to the question is actually yes. If you're that deranged by Donald Trump, if the thought of Donald Trump actually makes you that angry at a radio show that for whatever reason you cannot turn off, then that's what you think. And I'm here to tell you, like, I don't reciprocate that feeling for anybody over politics, ever. There's nobody in my life that disagrees with me politically so much that I would feel that way about them. This is an unhealthy place to be in society right now, and conversation has to be able to be had, and I can have that conversation. I welcome people to come on this show who can have this conversation, but it's got to be in a way that is respectful. And honestly, like, this level of derangement doesn't exist the other way around, does it? Am I missing it?
I hope not. I mean, that was unfortunate. I know we had to cut a portion of that because of the language, so people might not know what we're talking about, but that caller just lost his mind in debating you. And there are a lot of points that I want to make politically. But he
doesn't represent the majority of Democrat voters.
It makes me sad to hear that it was like pushback, snap.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Let's get to Mike here. Mike, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you think that Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage? Yes or no? Mike, are you there?
Hello, are you talking?
Yes.
Am I on right now?
Yes, you are. What do you think? Do you think that Trump supporters, Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage?
I would say, unfortunately, yes, but I'm a traditional Christian. I believe in fallen nature. I believe in heart of stone or heart of flesh. And I would have to say that because we have relatives who are well-educated, physicians, lawyers, et cetera, who, might be able to have similar thoughts as that last caller you had with, you know, a better vocabulary, but a similar sense of unredeemable depravity on our side.
Mike, let me ask you this question. As somebody who identifies themselves calling into a radio show as a Christian, being politically on the other side of that type of mentality, what is your thought recommendation, or how do you handle knowing that that's the way other people out there are thinking about you, even though, you know, just because you think differently politically, that doesn't constitute anybody being trash. All human life has value. How do you handle that situation with that knowledge?
Oh my goodness, it's it's difficult and requires lots and lots of prayer. I have very good friends who are civil and conversant on the other side, who I can have decent conversations with. But there's equally as well educated folks who baffle my friends, who are traditional people or conservative, Christian/conservative, and they know other folks who they see as good folks, and it just completely baffles them that they can't see what seems obvious. What you talk about, transgenderism, or a bunch of middle-aged men dressed up as women reading stories to little kids, you know, that just seems so bizarre and so evil on its face that it doesn't seem difficult to figure out, yet really bright people struggle with that. And I would tell my friends who are Christians / conservative, I go, that's spiritual warfare right there. I mean, there's no other way to get a handle on that sort of level of deception. Mike, so I have to distance myself and pray a lot.
Yeah. Well, there's never anything wrong with that. Mike, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I was thinking about this on the way in to work today, about how dramatically different we see the world from our counterparts. And biblically, I was thinking about the Tower of Babel and how people were all in the same place trying to do the same thing, and God made it so nobody could understand each other. And I find that to be, I don't know why I was thinking about that this morning, but I just thought, like, it's almost like we're all speaking different languages because everybody sees the same thing, but our inability to communicate with one another, maybe because we don't have our eyes focused squarely on the right priorities, our inability to communicate with one another makes the whole thing dysfunctional. And you almost have to turn everything upside down to get to a place where you can prioritize the number one thing from a Christian biblical sense, where you finally get the understanding, the ability to see things the same because you're seeing them through something that is more important than the rest. Let's get to Melinda's phone call here. Melinda, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you believe that Democrat elites really do think, like Joe Biden said, that Trump supporters are garbage?
I want to believe, no, that he does not. I feel that he said that because half the time I feel like he doesn't know what he's saying. I am a Trump supporter. I did vote Trump. But I want to believe that he did not mean that. I think it was kind of taken out of anger. But I do believe that they hold a hatred maybe toward people that don't fit into their narrative or agree with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I communicate with a lot of people out of here, and if there's Biden supporters or Harris supporters, they actually start name calling, and it turns into an argument. You can't sit down and have a normal conversation. So I want to say, no, I don't believe he meant that we are garbage.
Okay. I think that's a valuable perspective, Melinda, and I appreciate you sharing it with us here today, because I really do believe that Joe Biden is the type of person that has always kind of just said things. He's always said things that are, here's the box that we're supposed to stay in as squeaky clean politicians. And he's always got at least one foot out of the box. Now he's older. I think he's less polished. I think that he's probably so micromanaged on any given day that any independent person would get a little agitated by that over the course of time. And I can only imagine that he is very, very unhappy that he was replaced for somebody else who's going to lose potentially. So when he says that, I think he might feel it at that moment because he's mad at everything. The question that we're asking today is, do those words actually speak for the lot of the people who are in the up and up of the Democratic Party? We got to take a quick break here. We've got a whole bunch of people on the line, but we have Andy McCarthy with us when we come back. If you're still holding on the line at 1:40, we will take more phone calls. If everybody drops off, we probably won't go back to the phone. So if you want to hang on, you can. If you want to get in line, 314-241-9797. But Andy McCarthy is coming on with us. We're excited to have his legal expertise to come on to talk about the Supreme Court rulings that took place today. The voter rolls are still being addressed by the Supreme Court today. What happened? What does it mean for the outcome of this election and the safety and security of our elections? Andy McCarthy on the Annie Fry Show next. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are working on connecting with Andy McCarthy. So if we get a hold of him, then I'm going to cut this short. But we were having a conversation about the YouTube live chat poll for today. Do Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage? Yes or no? We've got the clip here for you and you can listen to it. I've played it multiple times. I'm going to play it again for you because this was last night. This is what Joe Biden said on a call with, I think, voters, maybe a fundraiser or something. Joe
Puerto
Biden.
Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American.
That's the clip that they played on CNN. Anderson Cooper had that clip on there. That's what they played. That's what he said. So the question today is really like an honest, open question. And I was curious how the poll would shake out, because I think there are a lot of people who think that Democrats just detest Republicans no matter what. You're Republican, then you're absolutely, what's the word that we've heard before? Irredeemable. I feel like there is value from the upper echelon of the Democrat Party to make that seem like the case, because the more we're divided, and Republicans certainly are in the upper echelons of the Republican Party can make it seem like we need to be divided so that you can't talk to the person who is across the aisle from you. I mean, that's the most American thing you can do. And so the question to you is, and we'll wait and see what the Andy Frye Show audience has to say about it. Do Democrat elites really actually think that Trump supporters are garbage? Yes or no? So while we work to connect with Andy McCarthy, I want to get Michael's phone call on here, because Michael has been waiting and we want to get him here. Michael, what do you think about today's poll question? You think that that's what Democrat elites really do think about Trump supporters?
No, absolutely not. I know that upper Democrats are actually enthusiastic about being bipartisan and working across the aisle.
What issues do you think, Michael, are like the most, like in a bipartisan fashion? Because I assume that you're the traditional Michael that we have call in, and I always love taking your phone call. You are left of center. What are the issues that we have that can be bipartisan? Where do you think we can come together?
Well, we've already come together, actually, with the border bill. That was bipartisan.
But Michael, I have to stop you there, because that's not a, there's many Republicans are talking about why that wasn't a good bill. Just because a Republican wasn't, that's like saying Liz Cheney got with the Select Committee and it was bipartisan. The party as a whole on each side doesn't agree with that.
I didn't say good or bad. It just said bipartisan. I just said bipartisan. But there's actually, we get more done when we do work together.
I agree.
But the issue is that there's been an environment that Republicans have to be loyal. You know, we've had the era of Trump where it was okay for anyone who wasn't loyal to him to be ostracized, you know, regardless of their record, regardless of their integrity. So you have to understand why we're in this environment that we're in now, where you have Jeff Sessions, who made the decision based on integrity, I'm going to recuse myself. And then he says, well, you're not being loyal. And then it's backed up by the commentators and says, well, hey, he has.
But
the
I
right
mean, like, Michael, what you're
trust.
Talking about is like the whole Russia collusion thing that was going on, which was an entire hoax that was put up against Donald Trump, and not liking Jeff Sessions because he recused himself from something that turned out to be a hoax. That you can't cite Jeff Sessions and be like, Donald Trump.
What about John Kelly?
I do have to go.
What about John Kelly?
Michael, call. Michael.
I just wanted to say this. I just want to get this in.
Okay.
Right? You know, we're talking about the Puerto Ricans and their situation. And like I said before when I called in, don't be surprised if those 500,000 Puerto Ricans don't vote for Trump. And it's not, there wasn't the only group of people that was insulted. The comment about
Michael, I got to go. I appreciate what you're saying. I understand that there's a lot of consternation right now over what the Republicans have said at the Madison Square Garden rally about Puerto Ricans. And now we're seeing Joe Biden reaction to that comment, and he's now calling Trump supporters garbage. I think both takes are bad takes, and I think that both things can be true at the same time. We're going to shift gears here, and because we've got a really important news that came out today, and speak with our friend Andy McCarthy is back on the show with us, contributing editor at National Review. He is the host of the McCarthy Report and a Fox News contributor. Andy, welcome back to the show. A real great honor to have you here with us today.
Andy, great to be with you.
So I saw the news earlier this morning that the Virginia Supreme Court temporarily halts the lower court's ruling. It has to do with the Virginia voter rolls. What can you tell? I mean, having the Supreme Court rule on something less than a week from the election is pretty wild in my mind. What do you think about this ruling today? What does it mean?
Well, on the point of the timing, you know, this has come up a lot because I've made the point to people that courts don't like to get involved in elections. And I think there's no question about that, because they want the elections to be decided at the ballot box. They don't want to be perceived as being the deciding vote. But what they really don't like is being asked to intervene after the election is over, because then it looks like they could be shifting, like, which candidate won. Whereas if you get them beforehand and the issue is really only about the rules, like who's allowed to vote and what's the conditions under which they're allowed to vote. I'm not saying they love getting involved in those things, but there's a lot of things court up to, of course, you know, courts are in the problem business. So there's a lot of stuff they get dragged into that they prefer not. But it's a lot easier to get them to decide something that simply is about what are the rules of the game, rather than post facto, where it's like who won the game, and they don't want to be in that position. So yeah. I wasn't that surprised to see them intervene. The other reason I wasn't surprised to see them intervene is that the district court and the Fourth Circuit intervened in the last week. So it's not like the court, you know, the Supreme Court was sticking its nose in where no other court had gone before. And this really is a very strange litigation, and in the sense that I don't really see any rationale for what the Justice Department was doing except try to make it easier for people who were not allowed to vote to vote. Because what Governor Youngkin was trying to do, pursuant to a law that was passed and signed into law by Tim Kaine when he was the Democratic governor of Virginia, and then the Democratic governors of Virginia who followed Kaine enforced this law. The Justice Department in 2006 told Virginia what it was doing was fine. And the idea is you use databases of other agencies to match up to the voter rolls to see who is a non-American based on what these people themselves have told government agencies. And then one by one, this was the big issue in the case, was the Justice Department said, this is a systematic purge, and under federal law, you're not allowed to do that within 90 days of the election, which they call the quiet period or the quiet window. But this wasn't systematic. The fact that you use systems to match up the names didn't mean that they just lopped people off the voter rolls. They went one by one through the names that got kicked out, and they take them off the rolls on a one-by-one basis. But the thing that people need to understand, which was, I think, misrepresented by the people who were arguing in favor of the Justice Department, this idea that what it meant was that it was possible by bureaucratic error that American citizens could be taken off the rolls and wouldn't be allowed to vote. It's the law of Virginia that you can register on the day of voting, and if you're willing to attest that you're an American citizen, they have to let you vote. So there's no way that an authentic American citizen was going to be bounced off the rolls or not permitted to vote. And in the meantime, Virginia's law actually bolsters federal law, because under federal law, it's a crime for someone to attest that he's an American citizen in order to register to vote, and it's a crime for an alien to vote. So, you know, it was just a kind of a crazy case.
Yeah, you know, the fail-safe of the ability to cast that provisional ballot on Election Day ensures that everybody does get the chance to vote, but instead of kicking the door wide open and saying, well, they could be, it's possible that some of these individuals are citizens, so let them all vote. From 2020 till 2024, what do you feel about the efforts being made in various states to ensure that every American is entitled to one vote in an election? How do you feel about the changes that have been made?
Well, I'm philosophically coming at it from the other direction. And that is that, you know, it's commonly said, and it's said so commonly that there's a lot of misunderstanding about this, that voting is a fundamental right. Right? It's not a fundamental right. In fact, as the Constitution was adopted, the only thing that you're allowed to vote for was the member of Congress in your district. Beyond that, representatives in Congress, or state legislatures, rather, voted for the Senate, and electors voted for the president. There's a, you know, the framers were very skeptical about direct democracy because the history of it is that it eats up liberty and minority rights. So they wanted us to have a democratic republic, not a pure democracy. So that's the fundamentals of it. And then the other thing is, there is a preference in the law of most states, and I think it's a sensible preference, that what we want is for you to come to the polls and vote in person, because that's the safest way to vote. Now, if that's your statutory presumption of your state, then it's perfectly fair for them to say, even though we would rather you came to the polls and voted, we're going to let you vote remotely. We're going to let you vote by mail. We're going to let you vote on days other than election day when everyone else is expected to come to vote. But if you're going to do that, you have to follow all of the rules for doing that, because we'd really rather you came to the polls. So I don't think it's incumbent on the government to bend over backwards to, like, correct the mistakes that are made for citizens when we'd rather have them come to the polls anyway. I think it's incumbent on the citizen to follow the rules and vote correctly. And it's not like we're talking about nuclear physics here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
It's not really hard to vote. It's really not difficult.
No, it's not. And you know, we of course talk about voter ID quite a bit and how it's not fun to go get your ID at the DMV, but it certainly is doable. And we are required to use identification for many, many things that we do in America. Voting seems like an obvious one, but alas, we don't have that requirement everywhere. Andy McCarthy, before we let you go, I love when people, especially of your expertise level, talk about democratic republics versus, you know, republics versus democracies and what the framers had in mind when they created our system of government. We hear the phrase threat to democracy in a really sensationalized way. We've heard it for a long time. Do you feel as though the election system as it is set up right now, is our democracy being threatened in the way that we're trying to change, that some people are trying to change how we vote?
No, I feel exactly the opposite. I'm always taken aback by people like, for example, the January 6th, the House January 6th committee, and the people who have the narrative that they have about Trump. And I obviously don't have any brief for the Capitol riot and the whole Stop the Steal thing. I thought it was a disgrace. But I thought the hero of the day was our democracy. And our democracy is so much stronger than the people who are always telling us that somebody is like, that our democracy is hanging by a thread and someone's a threat to our democracy. I mean, just take a look at what happened on January 6th. There was never any chance that Joe Biden's victory was not going to be ratified by Congress. The riot was a terrible thing. It was also a riot. It wasn't an insurrection. It lasted 3.5 hours. And if you compare it, for example, to the lethal rioting that went on after George Floyd's death, it doesn't hold a candle to that. There was such minimal damage to the Capitol that Congress was able to reconvene that night to ratify the election. They used to say, you know, but Trump may not leave. What if he doesn't agree to leave? The Constitution, our democracy that people like to talk about, we don't leave it up to the president to deign to leave office. His term ended at noon on January 20th. He was no longer president at that point. If he didn't leave office, he would have been escorted out of office.
Yep.
You know, that's not the way our system is an ingenious system, and I think it's far, far stronger than all these people who hysterically run around saying our democracy's hanging by a thread. It's absolutely not.
It's actually a pretty beautiful thing when you put it that way, Andy McCarthy, to think about something that was formulated centuries ago, but still with a very young country, has been that the anticipation of what could possibly happen, we seem so far at least to have been insulated because we had some very wise people at the very genesis of this country.
Yeah, look at how many bird brains we know, and they can't break it up. They try.
And they come in every stripe and every color. Andy McCarthy, thank you for your time today. We appreciate your update on this Supreme Court ruling. Look forward to more rulings or more information on voter rolls as they continue to come out.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Andy McCarthy, a contributing editor at National Review, a Fox News contributor, former chief assistant U.S. attorney, Andrew C. McCarthy on X. Go check him out and tell him thanks for coming on the show. We love to be able to connect with him. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get some of your thoughts on the Andy Frye YouTube channel to the YouTube live chat poll. Do Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage, as Joe Biden referred to them last night in some Zoom call? Russell says on the Andy Frye YouTube channel, I cannot speak for other Democrat elites as if they think Trump supporters are garbage, but I can say for sure the current president does. It's an interesting perspective. Let us know what you think. Andy Frye YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Have you used the dumb button yet on the show?
Yes, but not on this board.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I meant.
This is the
that's
first time on this board, yeah.
Because it's on the other side of the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a moment of, uh-oh, where'd it go?
No, because,
nailed it.
Because somebody put a big sign right over here that says dump. And
that's,
the button's
that's
red.
Ryan. He puts big signs everywhere that
yeah,
says
I do
dump.
That.
He likes to do it from across the room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like to warn people. Dump. Careful. Warning. Achtung, baby.
What?
This is German for attention.
Yeah.
Who knew that? Well, I don't know.
It's KFTK history.
It
first
is.
Dump on the new board.
Yeah, maybe, what
about
the other
maybe we don't talk to the other shows. We gotta talk to the other shows.
I was telling you off air that like when you have to hit the dumb button, there's so much pressure because despite looking at it 1,000 times, you hear something and you're like, "Where's the dumb button? I gotta find it." You're looking everywhere, and
panic.
Then that's been the result of me missing the dumb button before. So.
You hit the wrong button.
I find that it's easier to hit the dump when you just kind of relax.
You got a lot on your mind. You just need to unload.
Yeah. You just kind of.
Boys, I'm going to get another handwritten letter.
A preview of Friday's show.
I want.
Get you a shampoo bottle, read the ingredients, just hit that dumb button.
Mm hmm. Yep. I do want to point out that you were right in the middle of all of this. And so you were taking calls, and then we took a call. I had to get Andy McCarthy, and it's like snap, snap, snap. We got to move. In the midst of that, though, the original argument, and this is the argument that's funny that the White House is making, that it's not just that first caller that we had to do the dumb button. It's that the White House is saying, no, that's not what Joe Biden said. They released the transcript. They put an apostrophe in there. And they said, no, he was talking about one person, Trump supporters, as in like possessive one person. And then Kamala Harris comes out and goes, I want to distance myself from that remark. It totally undermines the spin that the White House was putting on it. So you're not just disagreeing with Annie or me or pundits.
I think that one guy was disagreeing with me.
Well, I think he was, but not just you. He's also disagreeing with Kamala Harris and the Kamala Harris PR team.
You know, I think we should explain, we're talking about the dump button a lot, where it's the actual radio term, children.
We are referring it to it as no other thing.
That's false. we're having an industry conversation with people who may not understand. So, Ryan, why don't you explain how that works? What just happened?
So, when somebody comes on and just loses, like if Annie starts pushing back on some of my points, and I just lose my mind.
If Annie starts pushing back on some of my points,
yeah. If I come in here and I'm like, Ron DeSantis isn't going to be the nominee, and you guys just kind of like go crazy or something, and then I start cussing or whatever, something happens like that, then there is something called a dump button. And that is so that what goes out over the airwaves, which are publicly
owned.
Like owned and regulated by the FCC.
And your tax dollars.
If something goes out over those airwaves that is deemed inappropriate, and that's a line that sometimes moves, but what happened in the first segment was definitely over that line. There was no doubt that was over that line. If that happens, the producer, Brad, working the board, will hit the dump button, and it erases, what is it, 5 seconds?
6 seconds.
Oh.
6 seconds?
We always are on a delay.
Yeah, so whatever you're hearing right now, we said
we do live radio.
5 seconds ago. And
ooh, that's weird to think. Because you said it right now.
Yeah, I can't get into the physics
He's
of it.
He's getting so meta.
When will then be now?
I can't. No. We can't think about this. Because if I start trying to talk 5 seconds ago, it's going to get all messed up. But that erases the 5 seconds. And then the dumb button will kind of catch back up over the next several minutes.
Yeah, wherever there's breaks.
There's tiny little breaks that it'll kind of catch back up. So that's how that works. Now, that doesn't happen on the internet. So, because the internet is not airwaves.
Yeah, our apologies to the people on the YouTube Live who got to hear what I got called.
To everybody listening on the app.
Especially your children, if your children heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, we like to think of ourselves as a nice, clean, family-friendly show. We don't like doing...
PG.
Yeah, PG.
You're looking at now, sir.
Thank you.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now, now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
So as you're hearing that clip, that actually played 5 seconds ago.
That was then. Not now.
That's right.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
It's the most...
We're just trying to
actually
break down the barriers.
Accurate description of what's happening a la Spaceballs.
Thank you for pronouncing it in the French fashion.
I pronounced it that way on purpose.
Are these fried potatoes? Yes, but they are French fried potatoes. Thank you very much.
What? That's not in Spaceballs.
Pronounced?
You said pronounced.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, that, no.
You
don't
did
dump
then.
That.
It's too late. We had to dump John.
When?
Then.
Now?
When
no.
will then be now?
This is 5 seconds ago if you're listening.
On the podcast.
I think we just did our first Who's On First. We're on Abbott and Costello and Brad.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Hey! There's an election coming up.
He's still listening, too. It's bad, though. I don't have anything left in the next 20 seconds other than to vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Do Democrat elites really think Trump supporters are garbage? I can think of one that thinks I'm garbage. Yes or no, go vote. We'll be right back.